Chăng Vyakarshalilaya Badhan Balo Daru Mayanyata Badhva Tanda Bimishauri Bhagna Darpan Hatau Jasa Vyakarshalilaya Badhan Balo Daru Mayanyata Badhva Tandam Bishaurir Bhagna Darpan Hatau Jasa Vyakarshalilaya Badhan Balo Daru Mayan Yatha Matajis. Badhva, tying up. Tan, dhem. Damabhi, with ropes. Shauri, Lord Krishna. Bhagna, broken. Darpan, their pride. Hata, lost. Ojasa, their strength. Vyakarshat, he dragged. लीलया प्लेफुली बद्धान टाइड अप बाल अ बॉय दारू ऑफ वुड मयान मेड यथा एज ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड शौरी टाइड अप द बुल्स हुज प्राइड एंड स्ट्रेंथ वर नाउ ब्रोकन and pull them with ropes just as child playfully pull wooden toy bulls. There is no purport. There are many shlokas. I'll just read translations. Text 47. Translation. Then King Nagnajit, pleased and astonished, presented his daughter to Lord Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted this suitable bride in the proper Vedic fashion. Purport. The word Sadrishim indicates that the lovely princess was a fitting bride for the Lord because she possessed wonderful transcendental qualities that complemented his. As Srila Jiva Goswami points out, the word Vismita indicates that King Nagnajit was certainly astonished at the many extraordinary events suddenly taking place in his life. Text 48. The king's wives felt the greatest ecstasy upon attaining Lord Krishna is the dear husband of the royal princess, and a mood of great festivity arose. Text 49. Conch shells, horns and drums resounded along with the vocal and instrumental music and the sounds of brahmanas invoking blessings. The joyful men and women adorned themselves with fine clothing and garlands. Text 50-51. As a dowry, powerful King Nagnajit gave 10,000 cows, 3,000 young maid servants wearing golden ornaments on their necks and bedecked in fine clothing, 9,000 elephants, 100 times as many chariots as elephants, 100 times as many horses as chariots, and 100 times as many men servants as horses. Text 52. The king of Koshal, his heart melting with affection, had the bride and groom seated on their chariot, and then he sent them on their way surrounded by a great army. Text 53. When the intolerant kings who had been rival suitors heard what has happened, they tried to stop Lord Krishna on the road as he took his bride home. But just as the bulls had broken the king's strength before, the Yadu warriors broke it now. Text 54. Arjuna, wielder of the Gandiva bow, was always eager to please his friend Krishna, and thus he drove back those opponents who were shooting torrents of arrows at the Lord. He did this just as a lion drives away insignificant animals. Text 55. Lord Devaki Sut, the chief of the Yadus, then took his dowry and Satya to Dwarka and continued to live there happily. Text 56. Bhadra was a princess of the Kaikai kingdom and the daughter of Lord Krishna's paternal aunt Shrutakirti. the Lord married Bhadra when her brothers, headed by Santardhan, offered her to him. Text 57. Then the Lord married Lakshmana, the daughter of the king of Madra. Krishna appeared alone at her Swayamvara ceremony and took her away, just as Garuda once stole demigod's nectar. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute. Tapt Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Seeking for Vaishnava's mercy so that I can speak something meaningful. Here in this particular part of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is marrying various princesses from various part of India. Here he is meeting King of Kaushal, whose name was Nagnajit, and his daughter's name was Satya. And the king and prince and daughter Satya both wanted Krishna as an intimate relative. Satya wanted Krishna as husband. Krishna, knowing the desire of his devotees, he comes to the land of Kaushal. And he is given a very, very opulent reception by the king of Kaushal. And from the description, it appears that Nagnajit was a very, very powerful, commanding king. For example, what dowry he offered to his son-in-law Krishna, the description is that he offered 9,000 elephants. 100 times more is he offered his chariot. And according to Srimad Bhagavatam, he offered 900 crore servants to Krishna as dowry. Can you imagine such a huge number? This number may stand for a country. 900 crore servants. He was maintaining that many servants. More, of course, he will give some, and then he gave 900 crore servant to Krishna in the dowry. So you can imagine what sort of opulent. Generally, if somebody has got 9 servants, so you may think that he is such an opulent person, keeping 9 servants, you know. And we can't conceive 900 crore servants. So what opulence this king was having. And in spite of all the opulence, generally very opulent people, they have got that aura of that respect of their own around them. But when he had a dealing with Krishna, he was so humble in his dealing with Krishna, he and his daughter also. He did the best reception for Krishna, offered a very sweet words to Krishna. He gave a very wonderful, grand reception for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna was very happy to know that father is receptive, daughter is receptive. In Rukmini's case, you find that Rukmini Devi was receptive, but family members were not receptive. So here, Sri Krishna was happy that both father, daughter, both are happy to have him as an intimate relative. So Krishna was very happy. But many times in Kshatriyas, they would have a custom. Either have a Swayamvara or they have a competition where Kshatriya has to show their prowess to get the hand of the girl. So he has kept a condition that any person is there who want to have the hand of my daughter has to defeat 7 bulls together, and they are very mad bulls. And especially Prabhupada writes that when they would see a princely order someone, they would be just charging at the person. So there were 7 huge bulls were there, and any person who want to take the hand has to defeat these bulls. So Krishna started to talk. And Krishna started to talk. He told that actually anyone from a princely order, he doesn't actually ask for something. But seeing your very intimate relationships, I also would like to have a relationship with you. So I would like to have a hand of your daughter. I would like to marry your daughter. But Krishna was indicating that actually I don't want to participate in this bull competition. So he told that in our family, you should not expect when you give your daughter, you should have something in exchange. So he indirectly indicated that actually I am not interested to fight with the bulls. For Krishna, it is so easy to defeat 7 bulls. So, after that, Nagnijit started to speak. actually he has taken a vow that only if somebody defeats, then only I will give my daughter. So then he expressed his heart. He again glorified Krishna that you are such a great person. You are reserver of all pleasure. You are reserver of all opulence. You are self-satisfied person. There is no means I can actually please you. And that is a fact also. Prabhupada writes that one cannot please Krishna even by devotional service also, even by service also. Because it is Krishna's choice, causeless mercy only, by which he is pleased. Suppose if a devotee offers something, so Krishna may accept or Krishna may not accept. But what Krishna accepts is the devotion. So in spite of this king being a very opulent king, he was knowing glories of Krishna and he was glorifying Krishna that you are such a powerful person. And for any father to give his daughter to such a son-in-law is such a great thing. Generally any father would want that my daughter should always be happy, she should be in riches. And here he will be getting married his daughter to a person who is a reservoir of all pleasure. That means guarantee that she is happy at all times. Husband is that, he is the husband of goddess of fortune also. So that means opulence will be there at all times. So such a great privilege to offer the hand to, say, get married to such a son-in-law. But nonetheless, he has taken a vow. And Kshatriya, he was a pious king, religious king, and he little attached to his vow. So he expressed that actually if you can still participate. And Krishna, he always doesn't want to insist and break heart of his devotees. He is Bhakta Vatsal. And for him such competitions are nothing. In this translation it is mentioned that like a child carries a toy of wood. Similarly Krishna tied the bulls. He subdued all seven bulls. So he indicated that actually if you can do it, that will be very good. So Krishna, he accepted it. He tightened his waist belt and he entered the place where seven bulls are there and they were charging. And Krishna, very surprisingly, in one form he could have defeated all seven bulls. But he expanded in seven forms. Seven Krishna he expanded. So Prabhupada writes in Krishna book narration that why Krishna expanded in seven forms. The reason is that Krishna knew that soon I will be marrying Satya and Satya wants Krishna as husband. And Satya is brought in such an opulent environment. So naturally she will be very happy that she is getting married to Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna is now already many wives. Earlier, it was a custom that Kshatriyas can marry many wives. Even 500 years back, King Pratap Rudra, he had four wives. So in Kshatriya, it was a custom that they would get married to many wives. So Krishna was thinking that Satya will feel that I will have to have many co-wives along with Krishna, then how I can get association of Krishna? So just to break that idea, Krishna expanded in seven forms and assured her that even if I have got many wives, nonetheless I can expand individually for you and I can serve you. So Krishna expanded in seven forms and needless to say, that he defeated all the bulls, subdued all the bulls. For Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not at all difficult. Like Lord Ramchandra, he just shot one arrow and he pierced through 7 tall trees. Or we find that Krishna killed a demon like Aristasura, a huge bull where hump is just hovering in the cloud. When Aristasura was be charging, the ladies were having the children would have miscarriage, and such a huge body. So Krishna has done a Herculean task in Vrindavan already, and for him nothing is impossible. He can just he is seated in Paramatma in the heart also. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to the forest of Jharkhand, not to speak of subduing animals, he actually made them chanted and danced. Animals were chanting, animals were dancing, animals were shedding tears. So for Krishna, who has done this act in Jharkhand, for him, what is the big point of subduing 7 bulls? So he very easily, he subdued the 7 bulls. And naturally it was a joyful situation where Nagnajit is so happy, King Nagnajit is so happy. And Satya, the daughter who is about to marry, she appeared over there. She was so happy in her heart. She was thinking in her mind that actually Krishna is such a great person, such a powerful person. She was thinking that all these years I did some tapasyas. So she was praying that if I have done this tapasya rightly to my best of my ability, and if I have desired Krishna only as my husband, let I can be married to Krishna. That was her desire. And she was thinking that what is my qualification to have Krishna as my husband? She was thinking that big demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi Devi, who is massaging the feet of Krishna, all offer obeisances to Krishna, and the same personality will be marrying to me. So she was feeling completely unqualified, that how can I get an fortune of getting married to Krishna? And she was thinking that even if I get married, how can I please this person? He is such an exalted great person. So she was thinking that how can I please this person also? And she is right also. Krishna is beyond our conception. And if somebody thinks that by my service, that's what Prabhupada writes, by my service, if I can please the Supreme Lord, so that is incorrect. Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, only gets pleased. There is no formula where you do this much seva, or you chant this many names, and then Krishna is pleased. It is out of causeless mercy only. And when somebody realizes this, then he becomes humble and feels that actually I am really not qualified. And Prabhupada in this in Krishna Bhut quotes his verse as Ai Nanda Tanuja verse, which means that, my dear Lord, I am in this material world since long, and please pick me and keep me at your lotus feet again, and let me be engaged in your devotional service, and that will be my greatest fortune. So Satya was thinking that way, very humbly she was thinking that actually I am not qualified for this, what opportunity is awarded to me? But then, and Prabhupada writes in Purport, in the passage, Prabhupada writes that one should, only by this service attitude Krishna is pleased. Prabhupada says that by service attitude and by service only, somehow or the other, we can attract the attention of Supreme Personality of Godhead. like in this particular chapter, as Krishna entering Dwarka, it is mentioned that the queens, they were offering very beautiful smiles and glance to Krishna. And it is mentioned in the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam that these smiles of queens and their beauty and their glance are so enchanting that even Cupid comes. So Cupid can also be enchanted. He will throw away his bow and arrow in frustration just by seeing the beauty of these ladies. It is mentioned that even super tolerant Lord Shiva, who is mentioned as Dhira, cannot digest their beauty, smile and glances. But nonetheless, Krishna is not attracted by their beauty. So that is the power of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes somebody may feel that Krishna is attracted by these ladies, and seeing their beauty, he is going and taking their hand and getting married. So Krishna is not at all attracted by the beauty. He is attracted by sincerity of devotion and the service attitude. Wherever devotion is there, the Lord is attracted. Like Krishna is known as butter thief, and he would be stealing butter in the various houses. But the point that Krishna is going in various houses is that the ladies were desiring that this boy Krishna should come and steal our butter, eat our butter. And just reciprocating their desire, Krishna would be stealing butter. So Krishna doesn't have interest in butter, or he doesn't have interest in beauty of the ladies or any material objects of this entire creation. But wherever he sees devotion manifested, Krishna is attracted. And one should offer service under the guidance of the spiritual master. We find that Srila Prabhupada, he sincerely followed the order of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One time, some years back, I was distributing books in local trains. So I happened to pass to a gentleman. So he told me that, "I have met your Swamiji, Prabhupada." And very often somebody may be saying like this. So I initially ignored it. Because I was interested more in distributing books. So again he said that, "Actually, I have met your Swamiji many, many times, and my name is Mr. Chokshi. And I am secretary of Sumati Murarji." So I was really inspired to speak to him in the train. So many people, but I just went next to him and I spoke. I said, "You can tell something about Srila Prabhupada." So he shared something very astonishing information. He says that Prabhupada came many times to Sumati Murarji. He says at that time he was a very humble looking sadhu. Nobody would be giving much attention to him. I was the only person who would be offering obeisances to him. And then he spoke few minutes. And then one of the stunning thing I was shocked to hear about, he says that Prabhupada came to Sumati Murarji more than 100 times. I was really shocked to hear this. Suppose we may go for, say, collecting donation. Once, twice, that's all. And we may just give up, or we may go to meet someone. We may just meet once or twice and give up. And Prabhupada, more than 100 times, he endeavored to meet this lady just so that he get a ticket to go to US, and where he can fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. So that was his determination. And nowadays we have got good transportation. Either we can go by car or we can go by cab, and we can meet that person. And we read in the pages of Lilamrita that during that time, Prabhupada didn't had even money to go in bus also. So you can imagine a sadhu going over 100 times to a business magnate, Sumati Murarji, and most of the times he will be just walking to her place and just returning back walking. Such a great determination, enthusiasm Prabhupada had. Such a great enthusiasm to serve his spiritual master. And naturally when someone displays such an enthusiasm and surrender to the spiritual master, Krishna's attention is attracted extraordinarily. Like here Satya is saying that, my dear Lord, actually what is my qualification? So that is true. Krishna is too big, and living entities are too small in front of Krishna. One time someone asked Jananivas Prabhu that Prabhuji, when we take darshan, what we should do? So Jananivas Prabhu says, ideally when you take darshan you should be fainting, because you can understand what mercy you are receiving it. You can knowing that Supreme Personality of God is just standing in front of you, and you are getting a chance to have darshan of Supreme Personality of God, and what to speak of having an opportunity to render seva to the Supreme Personality of God. Such a big opportunity. Like when Sridhar Kolvecha, he was called by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mahaprakash Lila, get Sridhar. And devotees were looking for Sridhar, and they found in some direction chanting of Hare Krishna coming, and they told Sridhar that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is calling. And as soon as Sridhar realized that Supreme Lord is calling me, immediately fainted. So when one realizes his smallness or insignificantness, he understands that actually I am too small. And he appreciates Krishna and appreciates devotional service. Krishna defeated, subdued the bulls. After that, there's a grand celebration of marriage. In a big, big, grand way, all city was celebrating marriage of Krishna. And then time came where Krishna is, the bridal party is leaving. And the king Nagnajit, he gave such a huge dowry, you can inconceivable, 900 crores men, like it was inconceivable. You can imagine a bridal party, 900 crore men plus men are just walking in the party. Such a huge. And when they are going towards the land of Dwarka, so Satya was so beautiful that earlier many princes wanted her hand, but the condition was there that they have to defeat the bull. So they came to fight with the bull, but somehow they just broke their limbs only and went back. So they could not digest that any other man can take the hand of Satya. So they all came to fight with Krishna. And Krishna's Yadu friends, and especially Arjuna with his Gandiv bow, they were fighting, and Arjuna so valiantly fought and chased them away like lion chasing away some petty animals of the jungles, and all animals run away. Similarly, all kings ran away. And Prabhupada writes that Arjuna didn't kill even a single person also. That's the heart of a Vaishnava. Unnecessarily he doesn't harass or kill anyone. In Mahabharata it was a purpose, so Arjuna killed. But here it was not necessary, so he just chased them away. And then bridal party, they came back to Dwarka. And in Dwarka, land of Dwarka, Krishna is entering with such opulence. Queen, so many chariots, so many elephants, so much gold, so many men. Coming to the land of Dwarka, Krishna is just entering in the land of Dwarka. Huge And very surprisingly, Dwarka was an island. It's not a very, very, very big place. And 900 crore plus men are entering the land of Dwarka. One time, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning that there will be crores and crores and crores of people who are staying in the island of Dwarka. But we don't find any description in Bhagavatam whether traffic jams are there, or where there is rush is there, chaos is there, crowd is there. Everything is so spacious. The reason he mentioned is that because Krishna was in center. So even many times people say that population explodes and big problem. But actually when Krishna is in center, even population cannot be a question. Krishna can provide for unlimited people because he is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. He can provide for unlimited people, and for him there is no dearth. So in the land of Dwarka, everyone was rejoicing and there is no scarcity in any way. I was just surprised when I was reading through this passage that 900 crore people are just becoming Dwarkavasis. Immediately they are getting an association of Krishna. Generally find that somebody does tapasya, austerity, renders services and all, and then he can attend to the land of Dwarka or land of Vrindavan. But here in just one shot, 900 crore plus people are attaining direct association of Krishna. I was just thinking, what is the reason? And the fact that Nagnajit and Satya both were devotees, and all these people were serving Satya and Nagnajit. So just by rendering service to a devotees, just on that ground they got an opportunity to render service in Dwarka in the association of devotees, in the association of Krishna. So it is such a great privilege to serve devotees. Just somebody is just serving devotees, immediately Krishna can, like he has picked up 900 crore plus people just to the land of Dwarka and make them Dwarka Vasis, his eternal associates. And they are all seeing Krishna. And they are participating in the pastimes of Krishna. They are serving Krishna. They are in the palaces, coming in the palace and serving Satya and Krishna. Such a big fortune just by serving devotees. That is the power of devotional service, and especially power of rendering service to the Vaishnavas. And what Krishna is attracted by the very humble heart. Krishna, later passage, we find that Krishna married to the other two queens as Bhadra and Lakshmana. Lakshmana was queen of Madras. So Krishna even had a North Indian wife, South Indian wife also. And everyone was happy because Krishna is in center. Krishna can eat North Indian food also, South Indian food also. So everyone is happy in the land of Dwarka. The reason is that Krishna consciousness is in center. So when Krishna consciousness is there in center, all disputes can be resolved. It can be ended. Anything can be dissolved because Krishna is supreme. He can settle all contradictions. And especially in this prayers of Satya, such a sweet detailed prayers she is thinking in mind, and she is exhibiting her disqualification that I am actually totally unqualified to have Krishna as my husband. Completely she was unqualified. And devotees are also, when they come in knowledge, they understand actually it's a privilege that we are allowed allowed to render seva to Krishna. Like in one of the song, Rupa Goswami mentions. He mentions that my mind is like bee. And this bee-like mind is after some honey. And devoid of honey of the Krishna consciousness, people look for the honey of this external world. But in external world, there is no honey is there. What to speak of honey? There is no much satisfying water is also there. Whatever seen is mirage. And actually the honeybee is needing honey. And Rupa Goswami mentions that that honey is available at your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all transcendental honey. Rupa Goswami further mentions that, my dear Lord, even big demigods like Lord Brahma, they meditate on you for many years. Nonetheless, they can't even see the rays coming out of your nail. But my ambition is very great. My ambition is that I want to render, engage in your devotional service and always meditate upon you. And I am desiring that honey which is there at your lotus feet. So that is my ambition. All the big demigods, they doesn't get it. But my ambition is such that I want it. And he says that, my dear Lord, you are infallible. Achyuta, infallible in reciprocating with your devotees. My dear Lord, although my ambition is such that it cannot be fulfilled, but you are merciful to your surrendered devotees. So I know for sure that, my dear Lord, you will fulfill my desire. And he further said that this transcendental honey of devotional service can derive even the nectar of the heavenly planet also. Like many times people want to go to heavenly planet and even demigods are attracted by the nectar. But this honey can even derive the nectar also. And Rupa Goswami mentions that my prayer is that let me taste that honey of your transcendental service eternally, so that I can always meditate on your lotus feet and I can be satisfied. And Prabhupada further writes in one of the purport is that devotees are satisfied in the service. And he very surprisingly writes that devotee doesn't want to see even beautiful face of the Lord also. He is satisfied in the service. Neither the devotee wants to be protected by the powerful arms of the Lord. They are completely satisfied with the service. Whatever Krishna wants, they are very happy. They are very happy. And Krishna is leaning to such humble devotees. When he sees such humility in the devotees, Krishna is attracted. And that attraction brings all auspiciousness in our life, and we can always remain engaged in the service of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'll end my class. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai.